Okay, we're Mem Amid Beis. In the Schattenstein is 40B3. And the Gemara, it's a little bit beyond the halfway. Okay. This Gemara is relatively easy. Okay, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says like this. Okay, let me just introduce it like this. We learned the guy violates a girl, a naira. So there's seduction, there's violation, whatever the fines are and so on. Now, the question the Mishnah is going to discuss, if somebody violates a girl under bat mitzvah, is there fines and is there a knas? Okay, is there a fine? So the Mishnah is using interesting terminologies. We know a father can sell his daughter as a slave up to bat mitzvah. When she becomes bat mitzvah, she goes out free and the father cannot sell her anyway. You have it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So it says like this. Yeah, I know, we're done with this volume. Kol makom sheyesh bei mecher, any place that a father would be allowed to sell the girl, meaning under 12, ain't knas. There's no fine for seduction or, God forbid, raping or that. V'chol makom sheyesh knas, and any time there is a fine, meaning over bas mitzvah, ain't mecher, the father cannot sell her. It's very interesting, but I'm just likening the father selling his daughter as a slave to seduction and violation. Okay, so the Mishnah basically says, a girl under bat mitzvah, the father cannot sell her, there's no fine. In the case where there's a fine, meaning the girl's over 12, then the father cannot sell her. Okay, that's what the Torah says. Now, and the Mishnah explains it, which isn't true, the Mishnah explained it. Ktana, a girl under bat mitzvah, yesh la mecha, the father could sell her as a slave. Therefore, ein lo knas. She's not entitled to find if somebody seduced her, raped her, whatever. Naira, a girl over bas mitzvah, yesh lo knas, she does get a fine, but ein lo mecher, the father cannot sell her. Okay? Begeres, a girl over 12 and a half, the Mishnah says, ein lo mecher v'lo knas. In other words, according to this Mishnah, the only time a girl gets a fine for being seduced or violated is between 12 and 12 and a half. Okay? Because the Mishnah says, a girl under bas mitzvah, because the father could sell her, not because, the father could sell her, there's no fine. A girl over bas mitzvah, over 12 and a half, there's no fine or knas, or selling. 12 to 12 and a half, that's when there's a fine. Okay. So now the Gemara says like this. Amir Yudah Merav. Rabbi Yudah said the name of Rav. This is only Rab Meir's opinion. Rab Meir holds a girl under bas mitzvah, there's no knas, if the guy violates her or seduces her. Aval chachamim eimrim, but the chachamim hold, yesh lo knas b'mkei mecher. Even when she could be sold, meaning under bas mitzvah, there's still a fine. So the chachamim hold that if a guy seduces or violates an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, any age, there is a fine. Okay? Rav Meir says a ketana has no knas. Rav Meir, the Chachamim hold, you violate a girl under bas mitzvah, there's a knas. Okay? So obviously, a Mishnah is not according to the Chachamim. Where do we see this? The Tanya says in the Braisa like this. Ketana mi bas yemechad vata shatav ishtei seidus. A girl from one day old until she reaches puberty, yesh lemechad, the father can sell it. You know, technically, a father can sell his daughter, who's a newborn, he can sell her as a slave. Okay. Ve'ein lo knas, but there's no knas. Okay? That's what Rameh, this is going to be Rameh's opinion. A girl under bas mitzvah, there's no knas. Mishatavish they say, aside of sashiti boged, from 12 to 12 and a half, when she becomes a begeris, then yesh lo knas, then there is a din of a fine, but en lo mecha, the father cannot sell her anymore. Divrei Rav Meir. Okay? So the Meir holds clearly that a girl under bas mitzvah, there is no fine. The Kai Mishnah says. But, shahoy Rav Meir Eimer, because Rav Meir used to say, what it says in our Mishnah, Kol makom sheyashmech, any place where the father could sell the girl under bas mitzvah, ain't knas, there's no fine. V'chol makom sheyash knas, any place where there is a fine, meaning over 12, ain't mecha, the father cannot sell her. That's what Rav Meir holds. Chachamim eimim, ktana, mi bas sholish shana v'yemechot, a girl from the age of 3 until 12 and a half, yesh lo knas, there's a knas. Okay? So the Chachamim say clearly that a girl under 3 is not shaykh to violate or seduce her, because the Gemara says under 3, her virginity comes back, her psulim come back, so therefore there's not a, it's like nothing happened. But the Chachamim hold that a girl from 3 until begetis, that means almost 12 and, 9 and a half years, there is a knas. Even for a ketana. So the Gemara asks, "Knas ein mechalei?" Can the sages mean that there's a fine, but he can't sell? It can't be. So he says, "No." Af knas b'mkei mechalei. What it means is, like we said, that even though the father could sell her because she's a ketana, there's still a fine. There's still a knas.
What age?
The father can sell her from birth.
Yeah.
Okay? In other words, the Chachamim, as Rashi explains, they just didn't mention the din of selling. So Meir is talking about both, selling and Knas. So Gemara says what the Chachamim meant is exactly this. The father cannot sell the girl when she's a Ketana, but Knas, if she's violated or seduced, from 3 to 12 and a half, there's a Knas. So that's what he says, Amir Avid Amir Av, at the beginning of the Gemara, that our Mishnah cannot go according to Chachamim. Because our Mishnah says, Ketana has no fine, that's Rav Meir's opinion. Chachamim hold, Ketana there is a fine. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Amir Rav Chista said, my time with Rav Meir, why does Rav Meir hold that there's no Knas by Ketana? Why? Like, the Torah doesn't say Ketana or not. It says like this. Because it says, V'loi to him, see a li'isha should become a wife. Okay? Now, what does it mean? B'mahave atzma kosim medaber. It says like this. To this guy that seduced her, or raped her, she should become his wife. Right? By seducing if she agrees, if the guy doesn't agree, she still becomes his wife. The mayor holds that only applies to a girl who is able to get married on her own. Because the v'loi to him, without vav, see Elisha should be a wife. So the mayor learns, according to Rav Chista, that the girl has to be of age that she can marry herself off. So when could a girl marry herself off? From 12 and up. Between 12 and 12 and up, the father or the girl could do it. The Moshe will give you an example. Let's see, there's no father. Yeah? A girl under 12 can't do it. A girl over 12 could do it. It's between 12 and up, the father also has jurisdiction. Okay? So therefore that Mary holds, the Pasuk says, because what does the Torah say? Pay the fine, and she should marry to him. Right? So the Gemara is learning, who pays the fine? A girl is able to get married on her own. At what age is she able to get married on her own? At 12. Under 12, a girl, 10-year-old girl, accepts a ring from somebody in front of two witnesses, it's worthless. And she can't get married under 12. So the Gemara of Meir holds that the Pasuk, speaking about a fine, in the same Pasuk says the guy got to marry her. And the mayor interprets it to mean she has to be able to get married by herself. And because a ketana cannot get married by herself, so that's why there's no knas hita, there's no fine. And then the Gemara says, Rabbanan, why do Chachamim hold there is a fine even for a little girl? So Gemara says an interesting thing. Amar Rish Lakish, Amar Kra Naira. It's interesting. You know, in Chumash it says the word Naira. Now normally it's spelled with a hey at the end. That's the way you spell a Naira. What's Naira? 12 to 12 and a half. Now normally, Naira is spelled with a hey at the end. By the din of seduction and all that, it says Naira without a hey. So Reish Lakish says the Chachamim hold, the fact that there's no hey means it doesn't have to be an actual Naira of 12. Even younger, there's also a Knas. Because the word Naira is without a hey. If it would say Naira with a hey, then Rabbi Meir say, yeah, Torah says Naira means 12. That means a girl under 12, there's no fine. But the Torah leaves out the hey. For what reason, Rabbi Meir says? To teach us that even if it's missing from the 12, she's a little kid, there's also a din of a fine. That's what the Chachamim hold. Okay? So Rabbi Meir says, there's no fine for a girl under Bas Mitzvah because she has to be married, get married by herself. She has to be able to. And therefore, Ketana can. Chum say no. It says neither without a hay, which includes and teaches us, yeah, that even a girl under Bas Mitzvah, there's also a fine. So the Gemara says like this. Shamed Apapa bered Rav Chana me Beich Luchis. The Apapa, the son of Rav Chana from Beich Luchis, heard Reish Lakish's explanation that it says neither without a hay, and therefore it includes a ketana. Also, Amr Kamed Rav Shimi Barashi. So he went, he heard the Snaizvart, so he went to take it over to a different Amr. Amr Rav Shimi Barashi said to him, Aho, Asu, Naho, Masnitulu. You learned Reish Lakish's din, that the word Naira is missing a hay, which means a ketana. You heard it about this Mishnah. Anan, we heard Reish Lakish's din about a different Mishnah. Not about this Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? It sounds like this. Amen, Reish Lakish said, Hameitzi shemir ala ketana potter. It says, if somebody defames a minor wife, okay, so then the din is he's exempt from
death penalty.
Well, what happens over is like this: no, a fine of 100 shekel. What does it mean? He defames his wife. We learned it in the Chumash class. A guy marries a woman, and he says she's not a virgin, and she became non-virgin between the kedushin and the marriage, so she committed adultery. Right. That's what we call Meitzi Shemra. He's telling a bad name about her, that she committed adultery between the Kedushin and the marriage. Right? And now he is living with her, he sees she's not a virgin. And he said, you committed the adultery between the Kedushin and the virgin. So what's the deal if it's false? Meaning, if he can't prove it, if he can't bring witnesses that she committed adultery between the Kedushin and the Chuppah, so he has to pay 100 shekel. Okay?
And he can't divorce her.
Right. Now, the question is, what happens if the girl's under Bas Mitzvah? Father married a girl under Bas Mitzvah. Yeah? The father married her off. And now, the guy marries her, he says she's not a virgin. So the Reish Lakish says, he doesn't have to pay the fine. Why? He says like this, because over there it says Landvenosn Lavi Anaira. But it didn't make Shemra. It says you have to give the money to the father of the girl. But over there the word Naira is with a hay. Which means only when she's a Naira. How old's a Naira? 12. Naira Male Dibrakosif. Okay? So in other words like this. The question was, what did Reish Lakish actually say? One guy heard that Reish Lakish said that by our case of seduction and violation, because night is written without a hay, it excludes a kid under Bas Mitzvah. The other Amreda says, no, I heard Reish Lakish in the opposite, that by Meitzi Shemra, when you accuse the wife that she committed adultery, and he doesn't prove it, over there it says neither with a hay. Which means she's a full-fledged Naira, which is a 12-year-old. Which means if you're Meitzi Shemra on a kid, you don't have to pay because she's not a Naira. That's what he said, I heard from Rish Lakish.
So he defames her but pays the father?
Because a girl between 12 and 12 and a half, everything she gets still goes to the father.
She's married to this guy.
Yeah, but he's explaining about something that happened before he married her.
Oh, before?
Well, between the Kedushin and the actual wedding. Right? So that's... So the Gemara says like this. It's very easy, very simple, compared to the other Gemaras. So the Gemara says like this. Reish Lakish, now the Gemara is forgetting about what we just learned before. The Gemara is focusing on Reish Lakish, the thing that we just said. That if a guy is Meitzi Shemra, meaning he marries a girl and he says you committed adultery between the Kedushin and the marriage. Yeah? That he, if it's a Ketana, she's Pater. And Reish Lakish says, why? Because it says Naira with a hay, right? And the word spelled out full, Naira means a 12-year-old. So if the Torah says, you give the father of the 12-year-old the fine for defaming her, so then under Bas Mitzvah you don't have to pay, right? That's what the Gemara said. So the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. Without the word Naira, you would think that even by a Ketana, you pay the fine. Why does the Shulchan say you don't pay the fine? Because it says the word Naira with a hay, which means 12. Well, that means without that, I would think if you defame a 10-year-old girl, you would have to pay for it. Yeah? Gemara said, but that can't be. Why? Because the Pasuk says like this. If it's not true, the guy pays the girl, father or the girl 100 shekel. Right? And if it's true, what does the Pasuk say? Take her out and stone her. That means she committed adultery. Right? Since when does a kid under Bas Mitzvah get killed? She's underage. Like we learned, for instance, if a 9-year-old girl is married, like in the time of the Gemara, when the father is married off the kids, yeah? If a 9-year-old girl is married, and a man, a 15-year-old man, yeah, commits adultery with her. Yeah? So who gets killed?
The boy.
The guy gets killed. Not a guy, a guy.
The boy.
The boy, I'm sorry. He's a guy. The boy gets killed. The girl can't get killed. She's not Bas Mitzvah. Under Bas Mitzvah, you're not responsible. Or in reverse. A 10-year-old, because over 9, it's possible for a boy to commit adultery, yeah? So let's say a 15-year-old girl married committed adultery with a 10-year-old boy. It's a legal adultery in Torah, but he can't get killed, he's not Bar Mitzvah, but she gets killed. Right? So the Gemara is going to ask Reish Lakish, your whole premise, why a girl under Bas Mitzvah, if she's defamed, there's no fine, because it says Naira. He said, even without Naira, he can't. He says like this, Maskula Vavda Barava, you're saying, time at the cost of Rachman and Naira. You tell me the reason is, because the Torah uses the word Naira, yeah? Holav Hachi, but if the Torah wouldn't use the word Naira, what would I think? Hava Minafiluktano. I would think even a girl under Bas Mitzvah, there's a fine. But the Gemara says it can't be. Because Oksiv, the Pasuk says right after that, Im Ames Hayad Dovar, Hazeh, if it's Taka true. And Leinimtzu B'sulam Naira, the Taka, the girl did commit adultery. So it says, Veitzios HaNaira Pesach Beis Aviyah, you take out the girl to the father's house, Uskaloa, and you stone her. So the Gemara says, Uktana, La Basain Shinu, a girl under Bas Mitzvah can't be punished. So anyway, the Pasuk cannot be speaking about a girl under Bas Mitzvah. So why do I need Reish Lakish to tell me why if you defame a girl under Bas Mitzvah, there's no fine because it says Naira, which means 12 and a half, 12, not a, under Bas Mitzvah, it can't, the whole Pasuk can't be speaking by an adult. Elokan, so Reish Lakish says like this. Interesting thing. So Elokan Naira. There's a Gemara there if you want. Oh, here, right here. Elokan neither. Reish Lakish changes Reish Lakish's statement to interpret it differently. He says like this. By Maitzi Shemra, it says the word neither, which means 12. So Reish Lakish says, therefore we learn. This is it's called Binyanav. It teaches us for all over the place. The fact that over here the girl has to be 12 because you're stoning her if she's guilty. The Torah spells Nida with a hey, like it should be. This itself teaches us that whenever in Chumash it says Nida without a hey, why is it saying it without a hey? To teach us if the girl's a minor, that din doesn't apply. Which is exactly what Reish Lakish said in our Gemara. Why is there no knas according to the Chachamim? No, this is the opposite of what Hakamura said. He says, neither without a hay means even a kid under bas mitzvah. But he said, no. Anytime it says neither without a hay, afilu ktana b'mashe, includes a girl under bas mitzvah. Mamish at the bottom, the last line of the... We're about to start the next Mishnah and...
Mem Aleph.
So, on the contrary, Reish Lakish is saying the same thing like we said here. The fact that Nida over here means only a girl 12 and a 12, it teaches us when the Pasuk says Nida without a hay, it means even a katana. And therefore, by seduction and violation, Reish Lakish explains according to the Chachamim, it says neither without a hay, and therefore even if a guy seduces or violates a girl under bas mitzvah, the chachamim hold, there is a fine. Because the Torah uses the word neither without a hay. And anywhere, the Torah, Reish Lakish says, anywhere the Torah doesn't spells the word neither without a hay, yeah, it includes a kid. Bottom line of this Gemara, if you just learned this whole Mishnah, is a very simple thing. A mayor holds a girl under bas mitzvah. If a guy seduces or violates her, there is no fine. Because he says only a girl that the father could sell, there's no fine. If the father cannot sell her, means she's over 12, then there is a fine. Right? And the Gemara explained, why did a mayor say that? Because it says, Laisi Alaisha, it has to become his wife. She has to be able to be married on her own without the father. What age is that? 12. Chachamim hold that a girl, even under 12, who's violated or seduced, there's still the guy has to pay a fine to the father. Why? Because it says Nida without a hay, and anytime it says Nida without a hay, it means even a ketana.
So why we brought the concept of Hamusi Shemra?
No, because he said, the other rabbi said, I heard it from Reish Lakish, that he said it, that Nida only means 12. Because over there it's with they. Okay? So he said, but that we don't need because it's a stoner. You're stoning her anyway, she has to be bas mitzvah. So from there, Reish Lakish is saying like this. When the Torah spells Nida with the hay, it means only 12 and up. If it says Nida without a hay, it includes even a kid. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to very interesting concept. Let me just give an introduction. There is what's called mamain, and there's what's called knas. Okay? And the word is going to elaborate exactly. It's very simple, important, but anyway, it's relative to the whole data. If I break your window, and I come to you and say, I broke your window, I have to pay for it. It's monetary damages. It's not knas. It's not a fine. And the Gemara is going to explain what's the level of a fine. For instance, I steal your Gemara, a ganav. A ganav pays double. Right? It's a set amount. Double. If I break your window, there's no set amount. It depends how much the window is. It could be $1, $10, $100, whatever the window is. Anytime there's no set amount, it's called monetary. Mammon. When there's a set amount that the Torah says you have to pay, for instance, you steal something, the Torah says you pay double.
if he gets caught. But yeah. If he brings it back himself, not, right?
Oh, one second. That's where we come from. One second. A guy that pays double, you slaughter the animal, you pay 4 or 5 times the amount. Or you kill an eved, there's 30 shekel you have to pay, no matter how much the eved is worth. Okay? Or our case. Somebody seduces or violates a girl, the Torah says you have to pay 50 shekel.
The person who seduces.
Yeah. It's a fine.
50 shekel.
As a fine. Doesn't matter if the girl's
billionaire
or pauper. It's a set amount.
As long as she's under 12.
Well, no. Well, according to one opinion, under 12. According to another opinion, only over 12. What's that? Let me just finish the point. What happens if I steal your phone? If I get caught, I have to pay double. A ganav pays double. Right. What happens if before I get caught, I come to Beis Din or to the owner and say, you know what? I'm sorry, I stole your phone. Here it is. Huh?
Has to pay fine.
Then there's no fine.
No fine.
We're going to learn out from a pasuk. It logically doesn't make sense. But the Torah learns out from a pasuk because by fines, by the concept of fines, the Torah says that Beis Din will make you pay. It says in the pasuk, the fine that the courts make you pay. The Gemara learns out from there that what happens if the court doesn't make you pay? You admitted it yourself? Then you don't pay the fine.
What if it took him 2 years to admit?
Doesn't matter, as long as he wasn't caught. If he was caught, then Beis Din caught him. It's not admission anymore. But if you weren't caught, that's it. In Meida B'Knas, it's potter. That's a rule throughout the Torah. A guy steals something, he's caught, and he pays double. If he admits before he gets caught, he doesn't pay double. Why? The principal he has to give back. Because that's monetary. It's not a fine. It's the principal that he stole, that he has to give back. But the fine that the Torah gives him, he doesn't have to pay. So, what?
The knas is only what the Torah says? Chacham cannot say you have to pay knas in this situation?
No.
Only those, the Torah says, yeah?
Yeah.
4 or 5, that's it, yeah?
There's a concept of a Beis Din giving a fine because they feel that will strengthen the judgment.
But this is not the same knas.
No. Here we're talking about biblical knas. There's a lot of examples. The one's going to give a lot of examples of knas.
Only those places.
For instance, seduction and violation that Agumar is talking about is a fine. Whether $50 shekel or if you motzi shemra, the Torah says 100 shekel, doesn't matter who the kid is. A ganef. I mean, there's a lot of cases that the Torah says you pay a fine. For instance, if my ox kills somebody's eved, goyish eved, non-Jewish eved, yeah? So the Torah says you have to pay 30 shekel. We're going to see the Gemara is going to talk about. It doesn't matter whether the eved is worth $1 or the eved is worth $100. My ox goes and kills somebody's eved, the goyish slave, the din is you have to pay 30 shekel. Now that's not monetary. Monetary would be the value of the slave. It's not monetary. It's a fine. So what happens if I run to Beis Din before I got caught? And I say to Beis Din, I'm sorry, my ox killed this slave. I don't have to pay. Because made the biknas is potter. And the Gemara learns it out except from the pasuk, because by fine the Torah says that Beis Din, the court will make you pay. Which excludes prat lahar shias atzmei. If he obligates himself, if he incriminates himself, then he doesn't have to pay the fine.
Is it Gezerat HaKotov Kenas, or there is a logic behind it?
It could be a logic. I mean, basically it's Gezerat HaKotov. The logic could be, that listen, a fine is something the Torah says I have to pay. I didn't damage you, the fine. Correct? I didn't damage you, the fine. I steal something from you. Let's forget this argument. I steal something from you. Okay, now logically, I have to give it back. If I ruined it, let's say I stole something and it broke, so it's $100, I have to pay $100 value of it. If it was $90, $90, whatever it is. Yeah? That's logical. What's the difference if I admit or not? I caused you a damage. Right? It caused you a loss of money. So I have to pay for it. Double that the Torah obligates me to pay. It's not your loss. It's not your loss. You're not losing anything. I'm giving you back the principal. Right? What's the purpose of a fine? Then a guy shouldn't do it again. Right? Why do you give a knas? Even yeshiva. You come late, the teacher gives a fine to the student for coming late.
Not this class.
Not in this class. Not yet. We're working on it.
Okay.
What's the purpose of a fine? Just think. What's the purpose of a fine?
You shouldn't do it again.
You shouldn't do it again. So if the guy comes to Bez and says, you know what? I did it.
He learned his lesson.
I mean, that could be a lot.
I heard that they were trying to encourage people to make it easier for them to get the tshuva, so they would.
Well, not necessarily. Made of a knas, it's not, you know, you still have to give it back.
Right.
What?
The ketuba of the man has to pay a woman. Is that a knas or is that a mamon?
No, no knas. Knas is when I damage you. I steal from you. So you get married, what do you do?
How is that categorized? Is that
mamon? It's a monetary obligation that a husband has to a wife. Yeah? It's not a fine. The husband's not fine for getting married that he has to pay exuba. It's a monetary obligation. No, that's... In a marriage, the husband has obligations to the wife. The wife has obligations to the husband. That's not fines. That's financial responsibility. And that's what the ksub is all about.
It's a contract.
Yeah. Okay, let's see this inside. Okay, now the Gemara is going to say a whole bunch of cases of a fine that you don't pay, if you admit. Okay? Now, a guy comes along and says, Amir pititi es bita shuplaini. He says, you know what? I violated her. I seduced her. Whatever. So he has to pay like this. Remember we learned, if you violate a girl, besides the fine, you have to pay embarrassment, depreciation of the girl. Okay, that's monetary. Right? Embarrassment is not a fine. There's a monetary value of embarrassment. So if a guy comes along and admits before he's caught, I seduced this girl, right? So, the embarrassment he has to pay, that's monetary. Depreciation of the girl he has to pay, that's monetary. But the fine, he doesn't have to pay. That's what our Mishnah is saying. But, ein meshalim knas. Okay? He doesn't pay the fine. And we said for the reason we mentioned. Ha'emer ganafti. Or if another guy says, a different case. A guy says they stole something. He admits before he was caught. Mishalim es hakeren al pi atzmei. He pays the principal that he stole, even though he admitted it. But a mishalim tashlumi kefal, he doesn't pay double. Or if he sells it as shechted the animal when it's 4 or 5 times the amount, he doesn't pay it. Okay? Why? It's a fine. Fine, you don't pay if you admit. Or hamis shady as plainy. My ox killed so-and-so. Okay? Now the din is, if an ox kills a person, you have to pay redemption fee. Okay? If the pay reward, Torah says, kay for you, shasala. Okay? So again, that case is, or shady shall play my ox killed somebody else's ox. Hareza mishalim al pi atzmi. Then he has to pay his own admission. If I say my ox killed your ox, it's a monetary loss. So even though I admitted to it, I still have to pay the monetary damages. What happens though, hamis shari avdei shoplaini, if I say my ox killed somebody else's slave, which then is not monetary, it's a fine of 30 shekel regardless, then it's an ein mishalim al pi atzmi. Then you don't pay it. So all these cases, Mishnah is just mentioning a few cases, that if it's monetary admission, you pay. If it's fine admission, you don't pay. And then the Mishnah concludes that klal. Okay, this is the rule. Kol ha-mishalim yesed ha-mashi hizik. Anytime you pay more than you damaged, which is obviously by definition a fine. If I damaged $100, then I pay $100. But if I'm paying, the Torah makes me pay more than $100, like double, four or five times the amount or whatever it is, then you don't pay on your own admission.
So in all these cases, this person is coming before basing and saying, I did this
correct.
Before you got
correct.
Caught.
Correct. Punitive damages is called in English, by the way, you don't pay. Okay? So it's a very simple mission.
Well, the kenas goes to the owner or to go to the bedding?
He doesn't have to go to bed necessarily. He admits it.
Yeah, but your question is, who gets the money?
You
or?
Can ask who gets the money.
No. The guy he stole from gets the money.
Yeah.
Not the fine, not the just...
Huh?
Yeah, the fine.
Everything.
The fine.
Everything.
The fine also.
The fine principal.
Well, the principal for sure he gets. Yeah. The fine also. But to give you an example how this works, the first mission of Mafkid in Bar Mitzvah, the third parak, it says like this. If I give something to a Shemer Chinam, a guy who doesn't get paid to watch, okay? And if you're watching something for your favor, I don't pay you. So then it's stolen or lost. The guy swears that it's stolen or lost. The Shomer swears that it was stolen or lost, and he doesn't pay. Okay, that's what the Torah says. If a guy is paid to watch, called Shema Sachar, and if it was stolen or lost, the guy has to pay. Okay? But a Shema Chinam, the guy that watches for free, if it was stolen or lost...
Doesn't swear? He's... If he doesn't want to swear?
Oh, one second. He swears, and he doesn't have to pay. Mm-hmm. What happens if the Shema says, you know what, I want to swear. I want to pay. I don't want to swear. People used to be afraid of swear. It's a biblical oath. It was spooky.
True.
Shomer means that somebody is watching somebody, something for something. Okay? If people didn't want to swear. You know, the Gemara says there are guys that in monetary issues, you know, rather than swear I don't owe you the money, even though I didn't, I'm just going to pay it because I don't want to swear God's name. It's too spooky. Okay? So what happens, the Shomer Chinam had an option to swear and not pay. Shomer Chinam says to the guy, you know what? I'm paying you the money, I don't want to swear. Okay? Then they find the ganef. Mm-hmm.
Blames the guy who swore.
Then they find the ganef.
Got paid. Shomer Chinam.
Yeah, it goes to Shomer Chinam.
Who gets the double?
The guy who paid.
The guy that paid.
Sure.
So then he gets the fine.
Yep.
Why? Because once he paid for the animal, it became his animal. Mm-hmm. That's the logic, the rationale the Gemara says over there. Once you pay for the animal, it's his. So then, so it's like the guy stole the animal from him.
So he gets the fine too.
He gets the money for the animal and the fine, yeah. Yeah, he gets both. But normally the owner gets it, not the Bezdin.
Why does he get the fine though?
He bought it, it's his animal.
He doesn't get fined. The Gemara asks the question.
And the Gemara basically says, I'd rather have a definite principle than a doubtful double. Because who says we're going to find the ganef? Who says he hasn't? Who says this? Like this, the owner of the animal says, you know what, now I'm getting my money for the animal that was stolen, okay? I'd rather have that for sure. What's a penny in...
Penny?
No. A penny in the hand is better than two in the
bird.
Nest.
Bird.
A bird in the hand is better than two, a bird, two birds in the nest. Right. Okay.
My wife, when I was speaking English, I was trying to explain this to her. She said the same thing. You know there's a saying...
Okay. Now. Okay, so this is, okay, right here, let's go. This is the din of the Mishnah. Yeah? But now, if you notice, the opening statement of the Mishnah said, only seduction, not violation. So the Gemara's question is, the listener or nasty, why didn't the Mishnah say that? The Mishnah only says the case of the guy seduces the girl about the fight. Why doesn't the Mishnah say that then they're violating the girl? It's the same din, it's also a fine. So the Gemara says, you're right. Lay me boy kamer. It's self-understood, meaning. Lay me boy a nasty. Not only when I rape the girl. Does it say? The lay kapogam lay. Where he does not seriously discredit the girl. Okay, one second. Let's say it in a second. The mishalim beishis of begama piatzmi. Where he pays the embarrassment and blemish. Avo pitisi, I would think. The kapogamli, because he seriously discredits her, meaning like this.
Of course you can, yeah.
It means like this. If a guy says, I seduced the girl, he's really discrediting the girl. If a guy says, I raped the girl, he's right. Not discrediting the girl. The girl just didn't do anything wrong. But if a guy says, I seduced her, yeah, then basically he's saying, she's also not such a big tzaddik. You know? So therefore he says like this. I would think by a nasty way he doesn't discredit the girl, where he pays by shivgam, avo btisi, but I pay seduction. The kapogamle, where he does discredit the girl. So I would think, le mishalim al pi atme, he doesn't pay embarrassment, humiliation, and this depreciation, Kamashwal, and the Mishnah says it does. So basically, the Gemara answers a very simple answer. The Gemara says, why doesn't it say violating? And the Gemara says, because the Mishnah's tongue is a bigger chiddush. Because I would think by seduction where he discredits the girl. So I would think that he shouldn't even pay embarrassment and humiliation, because the girl's also as guilty as I am. So we say, no, he still has to pay that. That's monetary damage and that you have to pay. But the fine, you don't have to pay. Okay? So what does our Mishnah say?
What fine he has to pay? Because the girl knows who seduced her. I mean, what?
Yeah, but he has to pay. Unless if he wants to marry the girl.
Right. But
the Torah says he has two options. Either marry her and not pay the fine, or pay the fine and not have to marry her. That's by seduction, not by violating.
But nobody needs to find them. The girl knows who did it.
Right? I understand.
So I'm like, you say, oh, I did it. Like, he goes... And
one second. If the girl comes, who says she's believed?
Who would believe the girl?
No, halachically, how do you know she believed? A girl comes to court and says, this guy seduced me. Yeah? I mean, the guy says, what are you talking about? I don't even know who you are. The burden of proof is on her. She's coming to incriminate a guy. She has to prove it. She can't just say, this guy did something to me. Right? There has to be witnesses. There has to be something.
But
even then, those days also. You can't come just to Beth and say, this guy beat me up. I mean, prove it. You have to prove it. You can't just extract money and incriminate somebody like this. You have to prove it. That's what we said. By Meitzi Shemra, when a guy marries his wife, and then he says, you're not a virgin, and you committed adultery between the Kedushin and the wedding.
He has to prove it.
He has to bring witnesses that she did something wrong. I don't know. But you can't just say... The girl did it. How do you know? I mean, you can't just... Halachically, you can't do that. In civil law also, you have a burden of proof. Right? The burden of proof is always on the guy that wants to extract money. Whoever wants to take money from somebody, the burden of proof is on him.
Question.
Money.
Why by the Sota? Does it only take one witness to see that...
Okay, because over there is Isser and Hatter, and Eirach and okay, that the Gemara says, whatever, there's even an argument in the Mishnah over there, how many you need, one or two. But this is different. Here we're talking monetary. We're talking here monetary. Do you pay the fine? Don't you pay the fine? Do you pay humiliation and depreciation or not? So our Mishnah so far, and this is what's coming up now in the Gemara, our Mishnah says, fine, no, humiliation, boshes, and depreciation you do pay. That's what our Mishnah says. Because our Mishnah also is monetary. Correct? So now the Gemara says, Masnis and Leiki Haitana. This Mishnah doesn't go like another Tana. The Tanya Rab Shimon ben Yehuda, Rab Shimon ben Yehuda said the name of Rab Shimon, Aveshes Begam Eina Mishalim Al Piatzmi. He holds, Reb Shimon holds, if you admit by seduction that you did it, there's no violation and there's no depreciation. Why? She'lei kol heimeno, he's not believed. She'yivkin bita shalplaini. That just to circulate that a girl did immoral things. Meaning like this. A guy comes on his own to Beis Din. That's what we're talking about over here. You admit. Not you were caught. You come to Beis Din, and the guy comes to Beis Din, the beginning of the Mishnah, yeah? I seduced this girl. So what did our Mishnah say? You have to pay humiliation and depreciation of the girl, but you don't pay the fine. Right? Comes along, Rav Shimon says, no. That's not going to happen. By making him pay the fine, I mean, by depreciation and humiliation, yeah, by seduction, you know what you're basically saying? It happened. And then you're spreading bad rumors that the girl is too permissive. It's a very interesting concept that Ishlok is saying. Even though it's monetary, and you did damage her, but she didn't come to you to ask for the money. She didn't bring witnesses that you did it. You're coming to Beis Din on your own and admitting, I seduced this girl.
What are you saying about the girl?
Right. So basically, so if Beis Din says, you know what? Prove it. I mean, there's nothing going on over here. The fine he doesn't pay because he admitted. So our chachamim hold, the chachamim in our Mishnah say, humiliation and depreciation he pays because that's monetary. But Rav Shimon says, no, it's not fair. Because when people hear that you paid humiliation and depreciation, you're basically saying it's true. You're basically saying it's true. So what are you saying about the girl that you seduced her?
You're discrediting her.
Rav Shimon says you can't do that. In other words, in essence, you would have to pay it because it's monetary. But Reish Lakish says no, because you're going to be discrediting a girl and you don't do that. So if the girl comes with a complaint, then she's doing it. What?
This is Rabbi Shimon, right?
Rabbi Shimon.
Yeah.
Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says the name of Rabbi Shimon.
He said Rabbi Lakish.
Oh, I'm sorry. Rabbi Shimon. Reish Lakish is also Rabbi Shimon.
Yeah.
Huh?
Let's say this guy comes and says, you know what, I did this, and there's a couple of rabbis there that he pays, and why does it have to be public?
Why would you make that public and have to, you know,
trust me, when people pay money, everybody knows about it.
No, but why would he incriminate himself to make the girl look bad? Why would he do that?
Because once Beis Din makes a ruling, okay, you know, even in the news, you hear this nonstop in the news. Trump, he says, I'm going to pay the lawsuit, but there's no admission of guilt. No, remember the Trump universe, whatever. Yeah. President-elect. He's going to pay the $25 million, maybe he should donate some to the show. $25 million, but it's not an admission of guilt. Yeah? Or people sometimes make a plea bargain in court. You say I did it, it's a plea, but officially, that means you did do it.
Well, he just doesn't
it's usually a settlement of some sort. Yeah,
yeah, but I'm saying, I'll give you a very, yeah. I mean, we shouldn't know about it. In a case of molestation, yeah? So instead of going through a whole long drawn out trial with a jury, and they're always on the side of the victim anyway, a guy says, you know what? I'm going to plea. Make a plea agreement with the prosecutor, yeah? So, the question, did he basically say he did it? Or he just doesn't want this whole headache? He'd rather sit a year or whatever it is instead of sitting 15 years with a whole drawn-out, expensive, legal,
right,
multi-million-dollar... Right. The only one that gets rich is the lawyers. But the question is that admission that he did it? So in the secular system, obviously, it's considered an admission because not they can't charge him. But you understand what I'm saying? The point is... It doesn't mean the guy necessarily is admitting guilt. He's admitting guilt, but again, if he's not admitting guilt, that's basically what a plea bargain is. You admit guilt, but you're going to get off with a slap on the wrist versus...
It's interesting because if it was a case of onus, of rape, she would probably come to the Beit Din, not him.
Of course. She would come to the Beit Din.
No, because it was seduction, he came to the Beit Din.
The whole case when the Torah says about seduction, no, the case of the Torah seduction, the Torah's talking about that he paid a fine and all that,
yes,
is when the guy was caught. Our mission is unique then, the guy came to Beis Din.
Yes, I'm saying, he came to Beis Din.
But I'm saying that's a unique then.
He came because the girl's going with witnesses and he goes ahead of time and he doesn't want to, you know.
Or he knows that there were witnesses.
Oh, yes, okay, I see.
But technically the case in the Chumash,
cases next week and he comes early.
No, but I'm saying something else. The case in the Pasuk is not that he comes to Beis Din to admit. Over there, the seducer is brought to Beis Din by witnesses.
Oh, okay.
In the Chumash. But over there, the Torah says you paid a fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right, okay. Amish is saying that if you come first and you admit the guilt, then you don't pay the fine. Now, why should a guy want to do it? Like you said, the guy knows there were witnesses. And he knows they're going to come in a day or two or 3 days. They're going to come. Okay. So the guy's smart. Not only that, he runs ahead. At least he saves himself some money. Mm-hmm. And according to the Shimon, you save everything. You don't have to pay anything. Because once Beis Din rules, this Beis Din is ignoring the whole case. Once Beis Din makes a ruling, it's popular.
So if the girl comes afterwards,
it's too late.
It's too late.
Yep. But again, according to our Mishnah, the humiliation, depreciation, which is monetary, he would pay. According to Rav Shimon, he wouldn't pay that even. If the girl comes later.
So which one is the final ruling?
The halacha is like our Mishnah, like the Chachamim, that you do pay it.
He has to pay it then.
Right.
If he comes forward only.
Right.
Okay.
But now the Gemara says like this.
He pays the monetary, he doesn't pay the...
Right. But Rav Shimon holds you don't even pay the monetary. Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. Amalei Rav Papa Labaye, Rav Papa said to Abaye, I understand something here. Maybe it's good for the girl not to get payment that she shouldn't become defamed in the city. But, I'm sorry. The Gemara's question is, what happens? I made a mistake. Rav Papa says something like this. What happens if the girl says, you know what? I don't care to get this credit. Give me the money. What does Rav Shimon say?
If I'm discredited.
You don't pay him the money. You don't pay her the money, even the monetary part, because you have no right to defame a girl. What happens if the girl comes to Beis Din afterwards and says, you know what? I'll be defamed. Give me the money. Well, would he have to pay the money then? The whole reason Rav Shimon says you don't pay the money because you don't want to defame a girl. What happened? The girl says, I'll be defamed. Give me the money. So my answer is very interesting. Maybe her father doesn't want it to become defamed. Maybe the father doesn't want. So Gemara asks, maybe what happens if the father says, yeah, I accept it. Give me the money. So Gemara said, maybe the rest of the family doesn't want it defamed.
How old is this girl, by the way, again?
12. So the Gemara says, Nichalei lebnei mishpacha. Maybe what happens if the family all comes and say, yeah, give us the money, we don't care about her shame. So the Gemara says, an interesting last answer. It's impossible that there's a distant family member overseas that wants this girl to be defamed. It can't be that somebody in the family, at least one guy, doesn't want it to be defamed. There can't be that. There shouldn't be such a thing. In every family, one guy in the family doesn't want it to get defamed.
It doesn't mean overseas, literally. Just there's somewhere in the world.
That's not in a faraway land.
Somewhere.
There's a family who does not want to get defamed.
Yeah.
And that's enough to trump all them all.
Yep.
Yeah,
hopefully. Yep.
It's got to be at least one of the relatives.
No, because that relative will feel embarrassed. And he doesn't want to. It's a little bit... I wouldn't say far-fetched, but if you think about it, Reb Shimon's whole basis is, you can't defame a Jewish girl, yeah? But the Gemara's question, what happens if she doesn't care? She'd rather have the money. Right, that's what the Gemara's question was.
She doesn't get that choice.
Yeah, according to Reb Shimon. According to Chabon, you have to pay it anyway, because it's monetary. The question over here could be, between the argument, what's the logic of the argument between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim? Because the fact is, there is a monetary loss and there is defaming. Okay, the Chachamim hold could be. The argument is, the Chachamim hold, a person would rather get money and be defamed than no money and not defamed. Mm-hmm. And therefore, Chachamim say, pay the money. And Reb Shimon holds that normal, in other words, Besdin's evaluating normal psychology.
Human nature.
Yeah? What's the psychological human nature? What would a person rather get? Money and be embarrassed? Okay? Or be embarrassed and not get the money? So the Chachamim hold, a guy would rather get the money even though they're going to be defamed and embarrassed. And Reb Shimon says, human nature says a person would forgo the money rather than getting embarrassed.
It's a tough call.
Well, that's why there's an argument. Because the truth of the matter is, if you pay him the money, she gets defamed. If you're going to pay her the money, she gets defamed. If you don't pay her the money, she doesn't get defamed. That's what the Gemara is saying, basically, right? So the question is, which one is more important to the person than the next? Chachamim say money is more important than being defamed. So give her the money, rather, even though she'll become defamed. And Reb Shimon holds, you know what? A person would rather not be defamed without the money. Okay, and therefore they hold that you don't pay her the money. At least she won't get defamed.
Sure. Yeah, some people would argue with the Chacham. I have to say
that. Look, if the family is starving and they're desperate.
They gave you both sides.
Sometimes you embarrass somebody. They don't want to take money from them.